lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land. By your grace then I have found, Lord, let my feet on higher ground.
It's a good life. Coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
A pastor is important in a local church. And so are deacons. And in our study of biblical church structure, we've been looking at those people who make up the local church. First, I see a pastor who is the under-shepherd of the Lord. And then I see deacons, and we've been studying about the deacons, and that's what we're going to look at today. And let's don't forget the people. The people are very important as well, because that is God's church. It all works together, pastor, deacon, and the people. Those who have been born again, those who have trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Well, now we've looked at some of the qualifications of a deacon. We looked at 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 8. It says, likewise must the deacons be grave. That means they need to be serious and composed, serious people. The deacon is a man who is respectable. And it says here, not double-tongued, not deceitful. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 8 says that as well. And then we look at the subject of wine. Once again, just as a pastor is told to stay away from wine, so are deacons. In 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 8 again, it says, not given to much wine. Well, this means not inclined or motivated or stimulated by wine. The deacon is to stay away from it. The qualification for a deacon would have the same meaning as that found in 1 Timothy 3 and verse 3, not given to wine, and Titus chapter 1, verse 7, not given to wine. And this would be the same qualification as given for the pastor. Well, once again, this would be one who does not drink wine, according to the verse, not given to wine. Paul here regards the use of wine as unacceptable, dangerous, and that deacons should avoid it altogether. And once again, just as with the admonition and qualification given to the pastors, you still have those people who would come up and without question, they always point to 1 Timothy 5:23 as an excuse to drink wine when a preacher says to abstain from wine or strong drink altogether. Once again, they will look to the verse, 1 Timothy 5:23, where it says, drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake, and thine often infirmities. I remind you again, this verse is not speaking here of wine as a beverage, but rather to use it for a medicinal purpose. And then we look on, and another qualification is not greedy of filthy lucre, according to 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 8. In other words, not a glutton for money. That's not seeking to get wealth, in other words, by sordid ways and means. This would be a person who is satisfied with what God gives. And we continue to look on in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 9. It says, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. Well, we see this as means to having a firm grasp of the gospel, according to that verse. Deacons must be sound believers. They must be grounded, and deacons must be upright in their life. And that deacon's life, it needs to be upright. A deacon must maintain the truth of biblical doctrine and soundness of faith. Deacons must adhere firmly to the principles of the faith, which produces a life of integrity. You see, the deacon should be able to say, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12 says that. Well, we look on in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 10. It says, and let these also first be proved. Now, once again, we're looking at the deacon. You have the pastor, you have the deacon, and you have the church membership. Well, it says these also must first be proved, and then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Well, here we see, and let them also first be proved. In other words, not a beginner or unknown to the people. The deacon needs to be a well-known person within the local congregation. And this is the same thing as the case of a bishop, 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 6. A deacon, once again, should not be a novice, a beginner. The meaning is that they should have had an opportunity of making their character known. The people should know who the deacon is, and they should have gained such respect for their devout loyalty to the Lord and their other qualifications that there would be no reason to believe that they would not perform the functions of the office well, according to that verse. In other words, the people know who they are actually wanting to be the deacon. They believe that God is placing there as a deacon. In Acts chapter 6 and verse 3, when deacons were first appointed, the church was directed to, and it says, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. Well, this would also carry the admonition of one who is grounded in the Word of God. That does not mean a man has to go into a Bible college for a formal Bible education. However, the deacon is to have an excellent grasp of what is found in the Bible. In other words, doctrinal truths. He's not to be a beginner. He's not to be one who has just been born again, not one who has just recently been saved, but a person who is grounded in the Word of God. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 22 says, lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partaker of other men's sins. Keep thyself pure. No man should be called to the pastorate or deaconate carelessly or quickly before he has proved himself worthy. And 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 10 goes on to say this, then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Well, being found blameless. There is, in other words, no present negative foundation against the character of the deacon. And it does not mean they are sinless or that what they may have been before salvation should be held against them. I remind you that when we get saved, we are blameless in the sight of God because we've been born again. That does not mean that we're sinless. It means that one of these days, just as we've trusted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we will be sinless one of these days because this body is going to be changed and we're going to be fashioned like that of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who knew no sin. And that's when we are, when we have no sin whatsoever about us, is because we've been changed. We have a new body, and we will be sinless at that point. Well, notice now in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 11. Even so must, now here we go, this is something that a lot of people overlook, and we need to be aware of this today. That it says in 1 Timothy 3:11. Likewise, it says, even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. Well, the eighth qualification for the deacon is this, his wife's qualifications. Sometimes we overlook this. The approval of a man to be a deacon is also based upon the qualifications of the wife. If the wife is not approved, neither is the deacon. Once again, even so must their wives be what? Grave. Wives are to be serious and composed. Now, 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 11 again tells us that. And in selecting deacons, when we look at these verses that I've given you, and especially this verse, in selecting deacons, regard must be made to the character of their wives. You see, because their wives will be greatly a great help or a hindrance to their husbands in their work. They must be the person that God wants them to be. Even so must their wives be grave, the Bible says, about the deacon's wife, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. Not slanderers, not backbiters or talebearers, according to that verse. Sober, spiritually rational. Their thinking and actions are based on the Bible, upon the Word of God. You see, the wife's actions, character, and testimony is based on spiritual facts. Her actions exhibit rational thinking based on the Word of God, not on women's intuition. In other words, it's thus saith the Lord or nothing. In other words, that person, that woman is to stick in to the Word of God, is to be there and have a working, I believe the wife should have also a working knowledge of the Scriptures. And this is something that you and I need to be aware of, that each of us, as children of God, whether we're a pastor, a deacon, the wife of a deacon, just simply because we've been born again, we're to stay in the Word of God. We're to have a working knowledge of the Scriptures. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved, a workman needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth, the word of faith. In other words, the Word of God. You and I have a great responsibility as the children of God to be as God would have us to be. We're to be faithful. We're to be reliable. We're to stay in the Word of God so that we can help other individuals, whether they're saved or lost, help the saved to grow in the grace and knowledge, give them encouragement, help them. And then we're to be able to tell other individuals that they need to be saved in order to go to heaven. Be able to let them realize that Jesus Christ is the Savior. And the way we do that is by giving people the Word of God. Well, notice a qualification for the wife is faithful in all things. In other words, constantly reliable to their husbands, to their families, to the church, to the Savior Himself. The wife is to be faithful. And then 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12. Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own house as well. Well, the husband of one wife, not two or three or more. And, once again, this is written in the present tense, but sometimes we overlook the word husband here. We major on one thing and we forget another thing, but we don't want to forget anything. The husband. It's the same thing, the same qualification that is required of the of bishops. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12 and Titus chapter 1 and verse 6 talks about the bishop. The dictionary definition of a husband is a woman's spouse, the man to whom a woman is married. Well, God's dictionary says this, and that's the Bible. It tells us that the husband is to be a man. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 24, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Mark 10:7. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. Matthew 19 and verse 5. And said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. The husband, a male, not a woman, not someone who is chosen simply because of good looks or because they appear to be good. No, the person chosen is a man, a male, not a woman. We'll talk about that more in our next section as we continue looking at the qualifications of deacon.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.